above every name. We praise you. Tune our hearts to praise you. Tune our hearts to hear from your word, we pray right now. Amen. Amen. And Penny is... No, I'm wrong. Oh, I'm wrong. So sorry. Nice to have you here, though. Please bring the scripture to us. That would be awesome.
Thank you. Oh. Excuse me a minute, everyone. I've got the wrong glasses. Morena. A reading from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonutana kupu kia tātou. The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 6, beginning at verse 56. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti, te kororia ki te ātua. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tene a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ia te kupu mana.
Awesome. Hello. Hello. Kia ora. How are you all doing? Thank you, my wardrobe assistant there. It's good to be here. Good to be amongst us all together again, the people of God, this morning. As I was thinking about these passages, particularly the John passage, I was reflecting on what is it that gives us life? Where do we go to find life? What's life-giving for you and me? What kinds of things do we think, you know, oh yeah, these things feed me in some way. These things give me life. These things, are life-giving. Maybe just turn to the person next to you for a minute and share what's life-giving for you. Well, I'll have to rein you in there. We've got more chance for chat afterwards as well. What kinds of things? Throw a few things out there. What gives you life?
Music.
Pardon? Music? Yeah. Definitely. How many people think music? Yeah, lots. Boom. Well, I'm echoing a bit there. Is that better if I go back? Yeah, go on, Sean. Run! Brilliant, come on. Nice, I like it. What else?
Creation.
Creation, yeah. Going for walks and just seeing the beauty.
People.
Fellowship.
Relations.
Pardon?
Testifying.
Yeah, definitely. Good. What else? Huh? Yep. Yeah. And yeah, I'm not sure what you said over there, Joseph, but I'm sure that's true as well.
Food!
Yeah, food. Gives us life. Kind of literally and... David. Yep. I'm waiting for that word. David, what is it?
Pies,
brilliant. Okay, pies give us life. I think that's absolutely true, as you know. So all these things, and you know, there's just so much goodness out there. Now I am thinking of pies, you've done it for me. Anyway. And these things do give us life, and they're good. You know, music, beauty, creation, you know, art, whatever. You know, all the different things that we've been talking about. Food, creativity in food, you know. Just all these things are good, and they give us life. Then there are other things, aren't there, that we turn to kind of to try and find life, actually. But they don't give us life at all. They give us kind of the opposite. They suck life out of us, don't they? I don't know. Probably those things we don't want to talk about out loud and share with our neighbor necessarily. But there are places that we go, aren't there, to try and feed ourselves, to try and find something of life that just aren't life-giving. I mean, all of us, I'm sure, just at some point, obviously, I don't know, you know, pull out our phone or whatever and start looking at something. And it just takes life away from us instead of giving us life. You know, or we, you know, I don't know, sit down to do some activity. Probably going to get into some awkward spot. We're not allowed to, none of us want to share those things that we do. That actually, you know, maybe some of the good things, like food, fellowship, drink, relationships, whatever, can actually be negative things because we're looking for life too much in them. You know, I'll just be honest, sometimes I eat way too much just because I'm stressed. And for me, that's one way to kind of, I'm just trying to fill some kind of thing, you know, I really am. I'm trying to kind of, and it doesn't work, I just feel gross, you know, afterwards. So whatever it is, there are things that feed us and that are life-giving. And there are other things that we go to and that one, for one reason or another, we look for life, but it just, we know it's not going to give us life and it doesn't. It's more life-stealing. Do you know what I mean? In our passage, I think it's really interesting that it's framed, it's actually in the middle as well, but there's two statements right at the beginning and right at the end where Jesus says, the first one, the first one he says, come, you know, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will have life. And then the last one is he's talking about the Spirit, and my words are spirit and life. And the disciples say, Lord, where else could we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's this kind of inner thing and outer thing that Jesus is saying, I can give you life if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, which sounds a bit weird. it does to Western ears. And what we can get more, if you hear my words and my words in the Spirit, if you receive in the Spirit my words, they will nourish you and give you life. And we're more comfortable with that, aren't we? Do you think? I think we've got a very strange relationship with our bodies and the world, physicality, matter in the West. We divide any kind of idea of spirituality or, you know, feeling or kind of like the inner life or mental activity, you know, and thoughts and, reason. We divide that from matter, from bodies, and which are a bit embarrassing or whatever, or creation, which is just empty matter, which we can use to our advantage and make lots of money from if we know how, or, you know, just consume. And because we divide the two things, and Jesus is saying something weird. He's saying something which they would have understood back in his day, but to our ears in the West, it sounds weird because we do this dividey thing. So he says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life. That's a really physical activity, eating and drinking. What's my body got to do with eternal life? Why be physical, Jesus? I thought we were all about being spiritual and being, you know, and the word and mental activity and kind of the intellect and reason and, preaching, and which are all good. But so is the body. And Jesus is like, I care about both. And there is no separation. I mean, you can distinguish, well, body, spirit, you know, mind. but that we're whole beings. We're not mainly spirit, and one day our body will go and we'll float off and play harps without any fingers because we haven't actually got a body. You know what I mean? Do we do that? Do you think we do that in the West? We split off, you know, there's reason is definitely king in many orbits. You know, that's why we're sort of science and intellect and all of which is good. But we see creation as just empty matter, don't we? Do we? Yeah? No? I mean, you can disagree. It's okay. You can disagree. I'm not standing sort of at a pulpit looking down at you 6 feet above contradiction. Yeah, it's really worth thinking about this stuff and having a conversation about it. Because I think the more we think about it, the more we explore it, the more we realize, oh, yeah, actually, there is something that's Gnostic, actually, something weird about where we say spirit good, matter bad, you know? But actually, God cares about our bodies, souls, and spirits. We are holistic beings. Jesus became one of us, put himself in a human body. God put himself in a human body and joined himself to his creation and is still joined to his creation because he died and he was resurrected in the body. I mean, it's a souped-up Mark II kind of fuel-injected version of the body, but it's still the body. You know, he could still eat fish, and they saw, you know, the bones on the table afterwards. You know, he broke bread and ate it. He cooked fish for them as well after he was resurrected. Yeah. So I think that union is so important, and I think it's a way of God saying he affirms the fact that you and me are creatures. We have a creaturely, bodily existence. You are beautifully and fearfully made, God says. In Psalm 136, doesn't he? You are beautifully and fearfully made. That means your body as well as your spirit. Who you are. And that means God cares about us physically as well as mentally and spiritually and everything elsely. And that's why he doesn't just give us words. Otherwise, that's all we would do. We'd just, you know, have preaching and that would be it. We wouldn't need anything else. He gives us this thing which is really understood throughout time and especially throughout the world, except in the West. We get a bit icky about things like, why do we have to do bread and wine? You know, that's not feeding my spirit, but it is. We call it spiritual food and spiritual drink, don't we? And Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not eternal life in you. Isn't it wonderful that he gives us physical, he's affirming our bodies. He's affirming the fact that you and me are body, soul, and spirit. Is that right? I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. I'd love to speak about that Ephesians passage as well, but we can't really get onto that, except to say that one thing, which is these things that feed us and the things that take our life away, that we consume. We consume stuff, don't we? Whether it's things that we watch, things that we listen to, people that we listen to, ideas that we absorb from the conversations around us, from friends, from, you know, whatever you look at on the internet, whatever we consume on TV, whatever we consume through reading, whatever it is, we consume heaps and heaps of stuff. And it goes into us, and some of it brings a bit of life, as we've just said. And some of it takes some life away. And we know that feeling. And in the Ephesians passage, Paul's saying, our battle isn't against flesh and blood. He's saying flesh and blood's there. It's good. But our battle isn't against the people around us who are good, solid flesh and blood. You know, we don't fight people. Paul says. We fight what's going on and what's influencing people, the things that people consume spiritually, mentally, you know, the stuff that's out there, the words that are out there, the words that aren't life, and some words that are life. We consume those things, don't we? And we absorb ways of thinking that say, actually, for example, going back to that, matter, creation, is just raw material. There's nothing. Trees of the field shall clap their hands. I don't understand that. You know, why would God say that? That's bonkers. They're there for chopping down and making things from. You know, whatever. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? But it's raw material. That's an idea that's floating around that we hear. And our battle is against those sorts of things which have spiritual power. I mean, they have a real energy and force in our world today, don't they? The idea that actually you just need to make it on your own. Huge idea. That you don't need anyone else, or you shouldn't need anyone. It's weak to need other people. That's a very strong idea in our society. It's weak to need other people. It's not. It's the Christian way of life to live in relationship with one another, the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You know? Do you remember that bit? May the grace, should we say that? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. It's not weak to depend on others. It's not weak at all. It's life-giving to be receiving and giving. In fact, you know, even a scientist will tell you, unless a cell is giving and taking, unless it's receiving and giving, it's dead. That's a definition of life. You know, we need one another. We're called to be the body of Christ. We're called to belong to one another. Body, soul, and spirit. Anyway, so there's all these ideas floating around today. Some of them are good, some of them aren't. And we need to be coming back again and again to Jesus, to his words, to his people, his fellowship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to his table, to consume bodily bread and wine, which feed us spiritually with the actual presence of Christ. Christ giving himself to you and me. Body, soul, and spirit. He is wonderful, isn't he? He provides for us fully as human beings. Not just for this bit in here or this bit in here, but for everything. Praise the Lord. He is good. So let's just say a prayer and then we'll continue. But Lord, we thank you that you have the words of eternal life. We thank you that you provide us, Lord, with your body and blood, with the elements of bread and wine to remind us of the fact that you are with us, body, soul, and spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that we fellowship with one another because we are part of the body of Christ, and that you feed us through one another, through your word, through bread and wine, through all this fellowship that we share. Lord, we thank you that you are with us and that you are with us always. And that we are beautifully and fearfully and wonderfully made in your sight and in one another's too. Lord, we pray that as we come to you each day and each week for eternal life, you would keep feeding us, Jesus, and transforming us more and more into yourself, into the wonderful, wonderful person that we see when we look at you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.
beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the bolts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of
King of kings and Lord of lords. We bow before you, Jesus. You have the words of eternal life. Where else could we go but to you? Etifano atakaraiti, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord is here.
God's Spirit is with us.
So lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, Father. You are the source of life for all creation and made us in your own image. And when we sinned and turned away, you sent us Jesus, your Son, who became one of us so that we might become one with him. And therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we worship you and praise your name, together saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. All glory be to you, Almighty God, Because on the night before he died, your son Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." And after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, loving God, recalling now Christ's death and celebrating his bursting from the tomb, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise. By your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and strengthen us to be his body in the world. Look with favor on your people, and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. United in Christ, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. And we sit or kneel to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one bread. Haere mai et kahui ati atua. Haere mai ki te tepu atakaraiti. Come, God's people, come and share Christ's heavenly food. Vow the body of Christ given for you.
If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I rest on the far side of the sea, even there your arms will keep me warm. Even there your loving hand is sure to guide me. From your spirit, where can I go? From your presence, where can I flee? You were there in the ocean far below. I go up to the heavens, you were there beside me. I've searched and you see all of me, all of me. I will give willingly all of me, all of me. If I rest on the far side of the sea,